Lord, bless this time now as we open your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the class this morning is Leading the Child to Christ. But I want you to take a look at the first page. This graph right there. Yeah. We'll get more of those. Am I on? Okay. This is really amazing to me. As we look at this graph, and I'm not sure who takes all these surveys. Perhaps it's Christianity Today or one of the magazines or some conference. But they always seem to come back very close. Each survey is within a few percentage points of each other. And it's amazing to me, 85% of people who come to the Lord between the ages of 4 and 14. And the longer you go on in life without receiving the Lord, the less likely they are to become Christians. Now, these ages, 4 to 14, that's us. That's you and I. That's the children's ministry. We have this awesome open door while their hearts are still soft to bring them to the Lord. Another interesting survey that they ran, they asked Christians why they attended the church that they attended. 80% of those folks said, because of the children's ministry. And I begin to think about that. Well, wait a minute. We got Pastor Chuck here, you know, and they come to hear him. That's true, but this is pretty unusual. Across the United States, the average-sized church is only about 300 people. And can you imagine now a family on their way to church? And the kids are saying, we don't want to go. We hate that place. It's so boring. What conflicts that creates within the family. Now, that same carload, that same family going to the church where the children are really ministered to, they're enjoying their classes and everything. Come on, we got to go. I don't want to be late, you know. I want to be there. What a difference that makes in the family life when it's time to go to church. So 80% of the respondents said, I go to this church because of the children's ministry. Children's ministry is so important to the growth of the church. And you're going to learn a lot of things today about how to keep your class going, how to keep it from becoming boring. Puppets. How to use songs to teach scriptures and all these kind of things. But they're only an aid to what you and I really need to be doing, and that's leading the children to Jesus Christ. That is the only reason the door should be open, the only reason that we should be there. My daughter moved to Portland, Oregon, took my grandson with her. So I would go up, and we were trying to visit some churches, and we heard this church was really good. So we went there, and we put our grandson, my grandson, into the children's ministry, and they had people greeting us. They looked like they were well organized and everything. We sort of felt comfortable putting them into the children's ministry. And the teaching in the sanctuary was quite good. And so we came out, we thought, well, maybe, Kelly, this is where you should be fellowshipping. And then Zachary came out, that's my grandson, and how was it? Oh, it was okay. Well, what did you do? And he showed me his color sheet. And it was a purple dinosaur. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, we all know who the purple dinosaur is. I said, well, then we watched a movie, and it happened to be a Walt Disney movie. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what opportunity they've lost. You know, we want our child to be taught the word. And so my daughter never did go back because of the children's ministry. Children's ministry is so very important. We have a great opportunity to reach the kids at that age level, and we should take it very seriously. Very seriously. That's what we do. We don't babysit. We bring children to Jesus Christ. Okay? I want to answer three questions this morning as we look at leading the child to Christ. Number one question, well, at what age does a child have enough faith to believe? Should we try? You know, should we wait till they get older and understand the gospel more clearly? Well, what's my part as a Sunday school teacher in leading the child to Christ? And third, what's God's part in salvation? Can a child have enough faith? Really, isn't that the privilege of the parents to be able to lead their children to the Lord? Or maybe this is so important that we should go get a seasoned pastor because we know he knows how to do it and he'll do it right. Should I even try? Good questions. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 42? I just love this. One of my favorite verses. Seems like everywhere Jesus went, there were these large multitudes that followed him to hear his teaching. Mixed in with that multitudes were people like you and I, parents with children. And after Jesus would disperse the crowd, the parents were lingering there, and they would come and they wanted to bring those kids to Jesus. That's not unlike what happens today when parents drop their children off in your classroom. They want them to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Well, we look at this and it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Now, it doesn't tell us why. Maybe they thought Jesus was tired and needed rest. Maybe they thought the message was above the children that they couldn't understand it. It'd just be speculation. Whatever caused, they hindered the children from coming to the Lord. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He was angry and he said it to them, "You suffer the little children to come into being and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And then read this. And he took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. A lot for you and I to learn in this. Does it look like Jesus was aloof with the kids? Did he say, "Okay, children, sit down now and I'm going to teach you"? No, it says he took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them. And he blessed them. I think he really enjoyed being with the kids. And I wonder, do we have that same enjoyment when we're all set up in our classroom and the first kid comes through? Oh boy, they're here. And we really enjoy them. Jesus enjoyed the children. He says to suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. What really settles it for me is in the previous chapter, Mark 9, verse 42. Jesus speaking now, and he has a little child in his presence. And he says, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." So Jesus, knowing the heart of all people, if Jesus says there are little ones that believe in him, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Okay. Children have such innocence. And you know, when someone in authority tells them something, they're pretty much open to believe that they're hearing the truth. And I remember when we first moved out here from Oklahoma, we stayed in Fontana. And at those times, they were called motor courts, not motels. And we didn't have a blacktop driveway to come into the little cottages, but it was sort of gravel and dirt. So we were there. And I find myself about right after Thanksgiving being really good. I remember when I would go to bed, I would put my shoes right underneath my bed, and I would even put my socks in the shoes, because I wanted to be so good, because I knew that he was coming to town and he had a list and he was checking it twice and he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. And I remember one Christmas morning we got up and we had gotten cap guns. The old time with the roll caps, and we were shooting and playing and having a great time. And as I was out there, I looked down, and oh my goodness, I saw it. There it was. There was a line in the ground. And then there was another line about this far away, parallel to it, and it was there, and I called all my brothers, and, hey, look. This is where Santa's sled landed. Those are the runner marks on the ground. Oh. Unfortunately, I believed a lie, didn't I? But I had that faith, that open heart to believe. How much more can a child believe when they hear the Word of God and the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to their heart as truth? I want to share with you a little girl in my class Wednesday nights, teach first grade. And she was just a normal little girl, wasn't overly active or withdrawn. She was just a normal little girl, you know. And her little sister and her dad would come and they would sign her in. And I was so happy to have her. And as a routine, we always have prayer in our classroom. That's not me praying for the kids, but we're on the floor after worship and they raise their hand and I call on them and they share their prayer requests and they pray. Okay, so we were going around. Pretty soon she rose her hand and I said, yes, honey, go ahead and share with the Lord what you want to pray about. And I can almost remember her prayer word for word. Dear Jesus, now that my mom is in heaven with you, please help her have a good time. But Lord, don't have her worry about us. We know that she worries, but let her know that we're okay here. We're getting along fine, and that we'll be with her soon. What did I just hear? Her mom just died, went to heaven? So we went on and finished the prayer and the class and everything. And then when the father and the young daughter came in, I said, sir, do you have a second? I said, sure. I said, in prayer time, I heard a prayer that your daughter prayed, and it led me to believe that you've just lost your wife. Is that so? And he said, yes, she's been fighting cancer. And Saturday we had the funeral. This is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That little girl knew exactly where her mom was. There was no doubt in her mind. She had faith that her mom was in heaven with the Lord. In fact, she was worried about her mom. Jesus, don't help her not to worry about us. You know, but Lord, just let her know that we'll be with her soon. And I went home and I thought, oh Lord, I understand what you mean. If we just had faith as a child. And you know, it sort of got me, and I had to say, Lord, I I want to have that kind of faith. I know I'm a teacher, but sometimes that's what I focus in on is getting my study together and stuff, and I just forget about who you are and how much you love me and what you have in plan for me. So we see Jesus says, bring the little children to him and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible, and age is no problem to God. Remember when Mary came to visit Elizabeth? And Elizabeth heard that salutation from Mary, and she said, the babe leaped in my heart. That's pretty young, isn't it? So remove any doubt from your mind that children really don't have enough faith. The gospel is simple. And let's not make it hard and complex. It's simple. It is so simple, even an adult can understand it. Okay. So we know that children have the faith, and Jesus says, bring the little children to him. So what is our part? I mean, I'm just a Sunday school teacher, you know? And how am I supposed to help out in this process? How do I bring the little children to the Lord? Through the Word of God. Through the teaching of his Word, God wants us to teach his Word to them. Okay. Paul said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's alive, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay. We have that wonderful promise in Isaiah. Isaiah 55:20. For my word that goes forth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased it to accomplish. It will prosper. It will not come back void. Okay? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We even know that in our own condition, that sometimes we're down or sometimes we're struggling with something, and we come to the Word and we spend time in the Word, and all of a sudden, wow, we begin to change because it's alive and it's powerful and it lifts us up and it refreshes us because it's powerful, okay? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, behold, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. One last one. In Timothy 3:15, it reads, and that from a child, and my Bible says, babe, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. You see, God reveals himself in his word, the true and accurate revelation of who God is, his nature, his holiness, his love, is found in his word. God reveals his plan of salvation through his word, and children find Christ through his word. It is true, the Bible declares that the heavens declare the glory of God, and as we go out at night in a place where we can see the stars, we're, oh my goodness, the Lord just put those up there. You know, and it does. It shows us the glory of God. And even in nature, as I see that sleek, beautiful gazelle, you know, in those nature films, so graceful and slim, but out of the corner of my eye now I see the lion, and he's crouching. And he comes after that gazelle, and he gets them, and he tears them apart. Well, what does that tell me about God? Well, it tells me that I live in a fallen world. Now, how would I know that unless I've read his word? That's not God's fault. God created the perfect place. But man then sinned and the earth was cursed. So it answers, the Word of God answers the questions that the children might have. Okay? Lay a strong foundation in the Word. Years ago, I taught on Monday nights at Costa Mesa. Greg Laurie was there. And place was just packed. And, of course, his ministry is more evangelism. And we would find new kids coming into our class. And they would be in our class for about, 2.5, 3.5 months. And then we wouldn't see them anymore. Hopefully, they were saved and they came here. And now they were finding Calvaries or other churches closer to where they lived. And we wouldn't see those kids anymore. So we made sure that when we had them, we were teaching them the Word of God, building their faith upon the Word of God. They can take that with them wherever they go. Not our personal opinions or something else, but their faith needs to be built upon the Word of God. It'll never fail them. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. So, that's our part. But you know what? It's important how we bring the Word. You know, are we modeling Jesus Christ? Are we telling, okay, sit down there now. Now, you guys cut that out, you know, because we're going to study John 3:16. And it tells us how much God loves us. You know, so it makes a difference on how we bring the Word. Some of you might remember this, if you're as old as I am, but on a lot of the sports years ago, there was the John 3:16 man. You guys remember him? And he would always position himself in back of the goalpost. So when a field goal or an extra point was being attempted, he would jump up and hold the John 3:16 sign. But he had this big old wig on. It was a rainbow thing and everything. I mean, it stuck out, right? And he would be dancing around holding that. And even the commentators on the TV station would say, yep, well, he's here at this game too. You know, John 3:16, man, that's what he was called. Tragically and unfortunately, later on, he got in some trouble. Okay, we don't need to bring it up. But anyway, it was newsworthy, the trouble that he got himself into. And the whole part of this thing, they went and interviewed his wife. And they asked her, well, what do you think about this? And she said, I believe in the message with all my heart, but I disagree with the way it's delivered. You know? So the message was real and true, but the delivery really lacked a lot. And you know what? You might not know when you're ministering to children. I want to share with you about a little boy named Reuben, a little Hispanic boy with those big eyes, and he had two front teeth missing. He is one of those joyful kids that you hope come, you know, every night. And had him for the whole year in first grade, and then it came time for him to graduate into second grade. And, you know, we had a little party, and, okay, kids, you guys are ready for second grade. You were so good at first grade. You're just going to go right into second grade like a breeze. And I'll see you outside on the playground anyway, you know. Okay. So the next Wednesday night, I had my new class in, and I saw Reuben walk by my door, and he stopped, and he waved at me. Hi, Mr. Dalton. Hey, Reuben. See you on the playground, you know, actually, I didn't get to see him that night. We went out at different times. But then next Wednesday, I'm there with my new class, and Reuben comes by, and he stops at the door, and he walks in. Reuben, how are you doing? How's second grade? And he looks at me and he said, Mr. Dalton, he said, I'd really like to come back to first grade. I'd really like to come to your class again. Reuben, you were a great first grader. You're ready for second grade. You can really do this. Okay, so he went into second grade. Next Wednesday night, Reuben came in again and says, Mr. Dalton, I really want to come back into your class. And I said, Reuben, you're ready for second grade. He says, no, I really want to come back in. And I said, well, Reuben, I don't understand. Why do you want to come back into my class? And he looked at me and said, because you whisper in my ear. I'm bewildered. I don't have any clue what Reuben means. And I said, well, Reuben, I don't understand. What do you mean that I whisper in your ear? And in a whisper, he looked at me and he said, Jesus loves you. What is he talking about? I don't understand. And then the light comes on. You see, as they would come in, we'd give them their paperwork, word searches, their color sheets, and we'd get them going, and we would walk up and down the desk. And we, oh, man, what a great color. Is that your favorite color? Oh, and look, Joe, you found 3 word searches already. God really is working through you, you know? And Reuben, wow, that's really good, Reuben. And Reuben, Jesus loves you. That's what he meant, that I whispered in his ear. I find it very interesting that he didn't say, well, Mr. Dalton, you always have 3 main topics in your outline, and you are, you know, you go through it before you conclude and everything, and your apologetics and everything are right on. That's not what touched his heart, and that's not what meant anything to Reuben. It was because I was just letting him know that Jesus loved him. So you might not think that you're touching these kids, but if you're sharing Jesus Christ with them, you are touching them in ways that you might not be aware of. I was not aware that that's what was ministering to Reuben. I was whispering in his ear. And you know what? In your teaching the children, you might not see any of them come to the Lord during your class, the semester you have with them. But that's okay. If you've been faithful to teach the word, the Bible says some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Now, I went to a church when I was little, and I can still remember my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Egan. He would have barbecues on the weekend and stuff, and I never did become a Christian. But when I was in my 30s, the Lord really began to work in my heart, and the word that he had put in there through the Sunday school teachers started to come back, and it came back strong and alive. Now, Mr. Egan doesn't know that I became a Christian. And you might see kids go through your class and never see them make a commitment to the Lord. But just be faithful to plant the seed of the Word of God in their hearts. That's what we're called to do. Okay? I got a little bit of time. Well, what's God's part? Well, God plays a big part, doesn't he? Salvation is of the Lord. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Wow. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those which believe on his name, which were born not of the blood. We don't inherit salvation through our bloodline. Because my grandparents, my folks were, that doesn't mean that I am going to come to the Lord because of the bloodline, okay? Nor of the will of the flesh. Oh, how I've wanted my kids to come to the Lord. And in the flesh, you know, I said, oh, aren't you sure you don't want to come to the Lord and make that confession now? That's not the way it happens, really, okay? Nor of the will of man, but by the will of God. By the will of God. Remember when Jesus was walking with his disciples? He had been with them for a while now and been teaching. And as they were going to the next city, Jesus stopped. And he turned around and he said, who do men say that I am? Well, they answered, some say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others say, well, you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. And some say you're that prophet. But Jesus looked at him and he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps forward. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. That spiritual revelation that came to Peter came from God, from heaven. Okay? And now God uses his word, and that's why, again, it's so important that we teach the word, because through the word, that spiritual revelation can come. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Okay? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Age is no problem to God. He can save anyone at any time. We're called to be faithful in teaching His Word because, again, the true and accurate revelation of who God is found in His Word. God describes Himself to us so we don't have to make any errors or mistakes in who He is. It's right there for us. Okay? God, His love. You see, again, we go back to that gazelle and the lion and the glory of the heavens and everything. But God's love for us was manifested so clearly and so powerfully at the cross of Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. I would not know that. I wasn't there. I didn't see the cross. But I find it here in God's Word. It's, I don't know how to say it. It's just that the Holy Spirit takes it and brings it into our hearts and reveals it to us as truth. If you would like now to go to the handout I gave you. And if you would go to the page where it says, things to remember in leading a child to Christ. I think it's the back side of the third page. You guys have it? Things to remember in leading a child to Christ. Since we want to build their foundation upon the Word, it's very important for you and I to memorize Scripture. That pertains to salvation. Sometimes we just tell our teachers, just put some reference, a key reference on the inside of your Bible. We don't know when the door of opportunity might open, but when it does, we want to be ready, okay? And we can just, oh yeah, go to Romans Road or go to the ABCs of Salvation, whatever it might be. Now, in this packet, you're going to see three different major things. The Romans Road, it'll explain to you what a child needs to know to become saved. The ABCs of Salvation are listed for you in there too. There's a couple other things in there too. But these are all things that we want to make sure the children understand. Okay? Read from the Bible. Read from the Bible. So that the kids really begin to see the Bible as God's Word and just not your opinion. This is what God says, okay? It's just fine to share your faith. You can tell about how you came to know the Lord, okay? But still, the Word. Be clear. The gospel is simple. As I said earlier, even an adult can understand it, okay? Don't make it complicated. Be clear. Use terms they will understand. As an example, in 1 John, Jesus is the propitiation for all of our transgressions and iniquities. What does that mean? I had to look up what propitiation means. Does anyone know what it means? It is the sacrifice that satisfies. Right. Wouldn't it be easier for a first grader to say, God accepted Jesus' death on your behalf? So be clear. Don't water it down, but use terms that they can understand. Don't complicate it, okay? Know what age group you're speaking to. Remember, first grade, fifth grade, there's four years between 25 and 29 is not much. But 4 years between first grade and fourth grade is a big jump, okay? So tell the truth, but on a level that they can receive. Keep it clear. They need to understand. There's A, B, C, D, and E. And the answers are on the previous page. You can fill them in. God loves all kids, including you. And you don't have to earn His love. You have done wrong, and this wrong is called sin. And sin must be punished by God because He's holy. But wait, Christ died to pay for your sins. And you must accept Jesus as your Savior and receive God's forgiveness. When I do this, I become God's child. That's pretty straightforward, pretty clear, not complicated, okay? So let's go back now. God desires that none should perish. That's the point number 9. You know, and as I get in my class and everything, and I just want them to know what it is to have Christ, you know, the joy that they have, and He's there to help them and everything. But, you know, if the class doesn't come along like I want, I need to know this, that even as much as I want them to come to the Lord, God wants it more, that He desires that none perish, but all would come to salvation. And make sure they understand it's just a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough and say, okay, Lord, I think I'm good enough now. Can I be your child? You know, it's free. No, you can't work for it. God loves you so much, and He's given it to you, if you'll accept it, just as a free gift. Okay? When we receive Jesus Christ, we become vessels. Vessels of God. Well, I don't know what a vessel is, you know, so what it means, kids, is that when we receive Jesus, He comes to live in our hearts. Now our hearts are His home. And He'll be with you always because He's living within you through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Don't scare the child. Well, you know, you guys are going home and who knows, you might get in an accident on the way home. We've heard that one, haven't we? And it's true. Sometimes things like that happen. But it's like this. It's like my grandson, Zachary. I pass by. He lives with me. Come by his room, and it's, oh, man. Ooh. Zach, it's time to clean your room. Let's go clean your room. Okay? 5 minutes later, I come by again. And hasn't even been touched. Zach, come on now. I want you to clean your room. It's time. Come on. Turn that off, that computer off, and let's get in here. 5 minutes later, I come back. Zachary, if you do not get in there and clean your room, you're grounded for a year. So threats and things like that, I motivated him finally to go clean his room. But did he have the right heart attitude to clean his room? No. No. See, he did it out of fear, and it wasn't done with the right heart or anything. You see, the decision is between the child and God. God working in their heart. God doing the drawing. God revealing the truth of the gospel. The decision is between them and God. And when God is doing it and they come to that decision, it is done. It's done. I might be able to talk a child into receiving Christ, lead them in a prayer. But when they go home, I really don't have the confidence that it meant anything, do I? I sort of pushed. Was there any heart in it? Did they really mean it? Was it sincere? So the decision is between them and God, so don't convince them. Oh, Millie's up here. Oh, Millie, I'm so glad you want to come to the Lord. And Judy, aren't you Millie's best friend? Don't you want to come to the Lord too? You know? And so Millie says, well, sure, you know. And she comes up there too, but she hasn't been, you know, empowered to do that. So I've convinced her to come forward. I would rather leave it in God's hands, because God is really the only one who can do it. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, when they receive Christ, pray with them. Pray with them. God would strengthen them. They'd come to know that He'll never leave them, that He's there for them. They can talk to Him anytime, not in church, but anywhere, anytime. And review with them that now they're saved. They have eternity in heaven to look forward to. Review what took place. Make sure, number 17, they understand what just took place. Larry Enterline used to be at Costa Mesa and thought there was a bug. It's this thing. But we used to hang out quite a bit. We were friends and neighbors. And we were talking one day about his conversion. And he told me about the man that he talked about earlier who led him to the Lord. And that gentleman said, now, Larry, I want you to remember this day and what happened. Oh, okay, but well, why? Because, Larry, Satan's going to come to you. And he's going to point and accuse you. And he's going to say, oh, that really didn't work. You're really not a Christian. I mean, look what you just did. And he says, Larry, no. You remember what just took place. How God worked in your heart. How God came to live with you. You're a Christian now. Okay? You're not perfect. But you belong to God. And he says he's always remembered that. But now, we're not going to tell the children, okay, now kids, be careful because Satan is going to come and steal your faith out of your heart. We're not going to say that to them. We just want them to know that what took place really is genuine and real. And say, now don't forget this time in class. This is the time that you were born again. This is the time that you received eternal life. Okay? Then explain what they need to do next. A, B, C. Anyone got an idea for A? Go to church. Yes. Get involved in a fellowship that teaches the Word. How about B? Pardon? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Why? Why do I have to read the Bible? Well, because it's like this. If I head out to school and I skip breakfast, and then I've got this basketball game to play at lunch, and so I didn't eat lunch, and then I got home from school, but it's time to go to soccer practice. I haven't eaten all day. Then I get up the next morning, the alarm didn't go off on time, so we're late for school, so I skip breakfast. I said, "What will happen to you?" He says, "Oh, man, I won't have any energy, and I'll be tired, and I might even get sick because my immune system is down." I says, "You're exactly right." And that's what happens when we're not feeding the Spirit by the Word of God. We need to feed our spirit with the Word to keep it healthy and full of energy and strong. So, reading the Word. How about C? Prayer. Absolutely. Kids, you know that you can pray to your Heavenly Father right now. If your mom and dad are fighting, you know what you can do? You can just leave the room and go in your room and start praying, "Lord, help them to get along." And you know what? Your prayer will make a difference in their lives. Pray. Pray. And then D. What about D? Pardon? Well, that's all sort of part of it. What? The technical thing that we want here. There's a lot of things you can put there. Share your faith with others. You know what? That builds us up. Have you ever experienced that time where you've had the door open and the opportunity to share and you start sharing? And pretty soon, you begin to understand, hey, I've got all the answers to this guy. How did that happen? I mean, I was able, all my words were clear and they were linked together and I had the right scripture at the right time. Then you realize, that's not me. Gosh, that was the Lord using me. And it really encourages us and builds us up that we had just been used by God to share the gospel with someone. Oh, I just walk away from those encounters just so uplifted. I'm sort of prone to getting down on myself, you know. Every once in a while I need the Lord to come and, you know, get me back up. And that's how it happens sometimes, is that after I've had that chance to witness, that, oh, I just, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, you're still using me. Oh, Lord, oh, praise you, Lord. That wasn't me. I know that you gave me the thoughts and you gave me the scriptures. But it's really uplifting and building. So have the children share the scriptures. Okay? Discipling then begins after they receive Christ. You can tell by the handout, there's a lot of information in there. There are the ABCs of salvation, the wordless book, the Romans Road to Salvation, what's heaven, how to become a Christian, the ABCs. And we just don't have time to go over all those right now. So I would suggest that you take it home and just go through it. And whichever one rings clear to you, what I mean by that, whichever one you can take and then present it to someone else, that might be the one that you want to stay with when you get those opportunities. Yes?
Is the office open?
We
can make more copies for people who didn't get one?
Yes, we can. If you didn't get a copy, just show me hands. If you didn't get one and you would like one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay, and 10. So we need 10 more copies. And they're able to do that while we're eating lunch. So I'm going to leave them at the information table right there in the lobby. And if you didn't get one, just come and pick it up, okay? This is the conclusion of the second workshop, Times. And lunch is being served out there. Yes? Absolutely.
In our Poway, they talk a lot about the children's Bible.
Uh-huh.
I have never seen one, but do you recommend that?
There are several children's Bibles out there. And yes, I do recommend them for kindergartner and preschool.
I have 2-year-olds.
Yeah, because it has some nice pictures, not a lot of print, and it's very simple. Gets right to the point. Thank you. But above that, though, I use the Bible. You know, I might change a phrase, like the one we talked about, propitiation for all of our iniquities and stuff. I'll make it simple, but I'll not change the truth. See? And but yes. No, first grade. Nope. I don't have the kids bring their Bibles. Oh, no, I just talked about the Word. But because they're just out of kindergarten, actually, when they come in the first grade, and none of them really know how to read. And so while I'm trying to give the lesson, they're thumbing through and everything. Oh, let me see that one. Oh, look at this picture. And actually, it becomes a distraction until about the third grade, where then they can read and they can know where the books of the Bibles are, because we've taught them that, you know. But in my first grade class, when they bring their Bible, I encourage them. I say, oh, wow, you brought your Bible. You know, that's the Word of God, you know. But then when we come to sit down for the Bible study, because we don't let them stay in their chairs because there's too many things there for them to pick up and stuff. But they just leave them at their desk and they come down, okay? And then, but we always encourage them and tell them what a great job you brought the Bible, the Word of God. But to have each one of them open up, they're just out of kindergarten. And they don't have the ability to find it and to read it. And so to lessen the distraction, I just read my Bible. Someone else? Yes. Well, suffer the little children to come unto me. Oh, that's Mark 10:13. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And what I really want you to take away from that one is that Jesus is not aloof. So don't be an aloof teacher. Okay, get involved. Thank you for listening, and we're going to pray now for lunch, because lunch is being served. Father, again, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, dear God, for your Word. Truly, like David said, Lord, it's a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. And Lord, we just need it so badly to find encouragement and uplifting, Lord. So help us, Lord, to remember that you've called us to teach your Word to the children. And Lord, let that burn in our hearts. And Lord, thank you now for lunch, for the food that you've provided, dear God. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, Lord. And bless the fellowship that we will have one with another. Lord, we just thank you that you've called us your own. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.